Jai Gopi Jana Valabha Girivara Dhari. Jai Gopi Jana Valabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Brajo Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Brajo Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prabhujar Kachara Shrata Shrata Shishima Desi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prabhujar Kachara Shrata Shrata Shishima Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaja Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Hizam Giri Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prem Sikho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindam Dham Ki Jai. Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Gangamaya Yamunamaya Ki Jai. Tulasi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Shri Harinam Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to Sambhu devotees, all glories to Sambhu devotees, all glories to Sambhu devotees, all glories, Shishi, Guru, and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading Canto 3, Chapter 19, and text number 1. Maitreya Uvacha Avadarya Virinchasya Nirvyalikam Ritam Vacha Prahasya prema garbenam tadapangena sograhit Maitreya uvacham avadarya vrinchasyam nirvyalikam ritam vacham Rahasya prema garbenam tatapangena sograhit Maitreya uvacham avadarya virinchasyam nirvyalikam ritam vacham prahasya prema garbenam tattapangena sograhit. Please chant. Virinchasya nirvyalikam ritam vacham tattapangena sograhit madarya virinchasyam nirvalyakam cham prahasya prema garbenam sograhit. Ava vinchasyam nirval kamritam vacham prahasya prema garbenam tatapangena sograhi Maitreya uvacham. Maitreya said, Avadaryam, after hearing, Vrinchasyam, of Lord Brahma, Nirvyalikam, free from all sinful purposes, Amritam, Nectarian, Vacham, words, Prahasyam, heartily laughing. Prema garbenam, laden with love. Tat, those words. Appangenam, with a glance. Sam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Agrahit, accepted. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Maitreya said, after hearing the words of Brahma, the Creator, which were free from all sinful purposes and as sweet as nectar, the Lord heartily laughed and accepted his prayer with a glance laden with love. Purport. The word Nirvyalika is very significant. The prayers of the demigods or devotees of the Lord are free from all sinful purposes, but the prayers of demons are always filled with sinful purposes. The demon Hiranyaksha became powerful by deriving a boon from Brahma. And after attaining the boon, he created a disturbance because of his sinful intentions. The prayers of Brahma and other demigods are not to be compared to the prayers of the demons. Their purpose is to please the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Lord smiled and accepted the prayer to kill the demon. Demons who are never interested in praising the Supreme Personality of God because they have no information of Him go to demigods, and in Bhagavad Gita, this is condemned. Persons who go to the demigods and pray for advancement in sinful activities are considered to be bereft of all intelligence. Demons have lost all intelligence because they do not know what is actually their self-interest. Even if they have information of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they decline to approach Him. It is not possible for them to get their desired boons from the Supreme Lord because their purposes are always sinful. It is said that the dacoits in Bengal used to worship the goddess Kali for fulfillment of their sinful desires to plunder others' property, but they never went to Vishnu temple because they may have been unsuccessful in praying to Vishnu. Therefore, the prayers of the demigods or the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are always untinged by sinful purposes. Maitreya vacha avadarya virinchasya nirvyalikam ritam vacha prahasya prema garbena tad apangena so grahit. Sri Maitreya said, after hearing the words of Brahma, the Creator, which were free from all sinful purposes and as sweet as nectar, the Lord heartily laughed and accepted his prayer with a glance laden with love. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Trubhyasya Kripa Sinube Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today we are starting a new chapter, chapter 19. We just finished chapter 18, which beautifully described the battle between Lord Varahadev and Hiranyaksha. And it's interesting to note at one point Prabhupada is referring to Hiranyaksha as the materialist warmonger, basically. Because we can see how in the current times that we live, there is so many people with that demoniac mentality. Demon Hiranyaksha essentially went to Varunadev and challenged him for fight. Even there was no reason, just, you know, all of a sudden, like, he was bored, didn't have nothing to do. He got a boons from Brahma, and he was so powerful, and all the devatas, they run away, basically, and didn't want to deal with him. So he goes and he challenges Varunadev, and Varunadev, he said, we have grown old for the combat, but if you want a real fight, you should seek Lord Vishnu. He is your appropriate match. And he's going to teach you a good lesson, by the way. And then, as we can see, foolish demon, he wouldn't take the good instructions, not even from great, great personalities like Varunadev. Out of his pride, he goes and he actually challenges the Lord himself. Lord Varahadev appeared to save the planet Earth. So anyhow, as the battle was progressing, at one point we find Brahmaji, he becomes a little bit concerned. And he prays to Lord. He says, "My dear Lord, this demon has proved to be a constant pinprick to the demigods, the brahmanas, the cows, and innocent persons who are spotless and always dependent upon worshipping the lotus feet." Now, it's interesting note, Brahmaji, he is referring to these particular groups of living beings, demigods, brahmanas, cows, and innocent people. And why specifically them? Because unless there is proper order in the universe where these living entities are given protection to perform their prescribed duties, the entire, actually, universe becomes very much disturbed and chaotic. And the purpose of human mission of life, which is essentially to reestablish our forgotten relationship with God, becomes very much at risk. So Brahmaji, he is essentially highlighting the importance of brahmanas in society, importance of cow protection, and importance of protection of innocent people in society who are neither demons, neither they may be elevated as demigods. They're basically, to one point, neutral and could be persuaded to either side depending on association. So, Prabhupada is pointing out there's two classes of living entities. One is called Asura, and the other one is Sura, or demigods. And it was beautifully described, actually. We were just recently reading Krishna book, and there is that first chapter describing the appearance of the Lord, where we find instance where essentially Kamsa is driving the chariot, and you know that providential voice is heard how the eighth child will kill him, and he immediately pulls his sword and he's ready to kill his sister Devaki. And Vasudev, he basically uses all his capacity to try to convince him, "Hey, this is not appropriate. What are you doing? This is not the right moment, and beside that, you're going to ruin your reputation by doing something like that, so sinful." But Kamsa just couldn't hear the good advice. And at one point, Vasudevi, he is essentially, as a last resource, he is actually promising to bring each child to him. So Prabhupada, actually, in that beautiful story, is saying how the difference between demons and devotees or demigods is essentially that one can actually accept the good instructions and tries to live by them, where the other kind of living entities, which are demons, they do not accept any good instructions, no matter from whom they are coming. So I was thinking about that a lot lately. And Krishna actually describes very nicely in the 16th chapter of Gita the divine and demoniac mentality. And he's instructing Arjuna. And what is interesting to notice at one point, he's telling Arjuna, "You are actually born with these divine qualities, so don't worry." But I was thinking, what about us? You know, most of us, it's questionable. I mean, maybe there is some piety in the past, but nevertheless, we have to be very, very eager to develop these qualities. Over the summer, my wife and myself, we went to Europe, and when I came back, my garden was pretty much covered in weeds. And I was thinking, like, gosh, like, wouldn't it be nice if I came back and there was, you know, beautiful flowers and maybe some mango or something? But instead, it was just covered in weeds. So I was actually realizing anything you neglect in this age of Kali, essentially the weeds take over. So therefore, it's so crucial for us to constantly basically have good association, to constantly hear good instructions, to constantly meditate on pastimes of the Lord, and in that way cultivate that those divine qualities. But I wanted to briefly just read this because, you know, when we go through this list, we can actually ask ourselves, you know, how much of these qualities actually do I possess, if any, and what do I need to do to get there? So the Supreme Personality of God had said, fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault-finding. That's the one, very important one. In this age, we can see how everybody's so eager to just point finger, look at him, or look at her. So, aversion to fault-finding, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, cleanliness, and freedom from envy and from the passion for honor. These transcendental qualities, O son of Bharata, belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. Very interesting. And then contrary to that, Krishna is saying, pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance, these qualities belong to those of demonic nature, O son of Pritha. So, very nice chapter, actually. Krishna goes more into detail, and if you like, you can study that. So, in the verse that we have today, Prabhupada is saying basically this word, nirvyalika, free from all sinful purposes. Prabhupada is saying this word is very significant. The prayers of the demigods or devotees of the Lord are free from all sinful purposes, but the prayers of the demons are always filled with sinful purposes. So I kind of wanted to reflect a little bit on this point. The difference between the prayers of the demons and the prayers of the godly people. And one particular story comes to my mind that very much depicts that difference. Because it's not like that the devotees and demigods, it's not like they don't have any material needs. Of course we do. And sometimes, you know, devotees ask, should I pray for this? Should I pray that I do well in a college class? Should I pray that I may get promotion at job? You know, these questions sometimes arise because at first glance, it may appear like, oh, it's material desire. Why would you pray for that? But not necessarily. Not necessarily, because if devotee is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness and this particular facility will help him to serve the Lord even better, then that's not material at all. So, anyhow, it is very interesting to notice from the story that I'm going to tell you how Krishna actually takes very special care of his devotee, regardless, you know, if our prayer is initially pure or not. So in the Bhagavatam, in sixth canto, at one point we see there was a story between Vritrasura and Indradev. And towards the end of that battle, we find Vritrasura exhibits symptoms of very very saintly person, even though he was the demon himself, born in demoniac body. So Maharaj Parikshit goes on to inquire, like, how is that? Like, you know, this person is born in demoniac family and among the demoniac species, yet he is such exalted devotee. And Shukadeva Swami goes on to narrate story, and he tells, like, I'm going to tell you something that actually this story has been told by Narada and other great saints, and is very much instructive for all of us. So he goes on to describe basically life of Chitraketu. Chitraketu was a king of the entire planet Earth. And basically, it's described he had 10 million wives. I had to double check, make sure that, you know. And actually, if you look at the Sanskrit words, basically it says there, you know, I'm not Sanskrit expert by any means, but, you know, it says like sahasra, sahasrani, something like that. And then it says like dasa, which means 10. So you multiply that, and I believe that's how that figure comes. 10 million. So I was thinking, wow, like that's amazing. Like that's pretty much more than entire population of New York City. The, you know, entire population of New York City, they were all wives of Chitraketu, this king. So, of course, it's a different yoga, you know, people live much longer lives, so all these numbers shouldn't really be too surprising to us. So, you know, for us, Kali Yuga residents, we live very short lives, but previously, the life was much longer. So the story goes on to describe King Chitraketu essentially had so many wives, but no child. And he was depressed because of that. Can you imagine your king? You have all the facility there for all kind of pleasure that you can dream of. Wealth, servants, you know, army, huge treasury, so many beautiful wives, and still you're depressed. Such a life. So one day, great sage Angira Rishi, he visits, and he comes to king's palace, and he basically inquires about the well-being of the king. Just, you know, previously the sages would visit these great rajas, kings, and they would inquire about their well-being because, you know, the kings, they're of course very important. Entire kingdom depends on them. And if they are not doing well, how well then the kingdom prosper? So Angira Rishi, he immediately noticed, you know, being that he was a great yogi and great sage, he noticed something is not right. And he said, my dear king, I can see you're not happy. Is it something because of your own fault, or is it something that, you know, somebody else is causing to you? And Chitraketu said, my dear great sage, although you know everything, you know, you great yogi, you still inquire from me and out of your kindness and mercy upon me. So I'll disclose my trouble to you. And he said, I'm so much in pain and so much depressed because I have no child. I have so many wives and none of them could bear the child. And after hearing that, basically Chitraketu is praying, and this is the point, the reason I'm mentioning this story. Chitraketu is praying for the child, and he's asking the sage, please do something, please help me. So Angira Rishi, he performs yagya, and afterwards, his wife, I forget the name. Krita Dyuti, thank you, Ikarashi. So Krita Dyuti, basically, she takes the remnants of the sacrificial, ingredients, and she was able to conceive the child. And in due course of time, the child is born, and everybody in the kingdom is celebrating. The king is all happy. Everything is going well now. You know, the Like, you know, sometimes we think, man, you know, I have no problems, you know, things are going well. And then something happens. And that's the nature of material world. No matter how wonderful we may think, you know, oh, things are going well, then usually something has to happen to remind us, hey, living entity, this material world is not your permanent home. Don't be illusioned. So what exactly happened? Basically, as we mentioned earlier, King had so many wives. And what you think is going to happen when one of them has a child and the rest does not? Of course, the envy will be there. All other wives, they started thinking, wow, look at this. The king is not paying any attention to us anymore. Now we are worse than maidservants. We are not even good as a maidservants because at least we would have some interaction. But king is now preoccupied with the Kriti duty and his child. And look at us. We are childless. And I cannot understand fully, but I can believe that for the woman that is very, very important. When one sees, oh, she has a child and I don't, it's very, very painful. So unfortunately, they essentially conspired to kill the child. They administer poison. And one day, basically, the child appeared to be sleeping, and Krita duty, she was performing her daily duties. And she noticed, oh, my baby's been sleeping for such a long time. And she sends her maidservant, please go and wake him up. I think, you know, he slept long enough. And as the maidservant approached, she actually realized the child was lifeless. And, you know, the maidservant starts crying, and the queen comes. She faints out of, you know, shock to see her baby being killed. So immediately the atmosphere in the palace changes from, and actually Angira was, when he initially came, basically he told the king, I'm going to give you a blessing, which essentially you will have a son, which will bring you jubilation and lamentation. And we can see how in material world we are constantly being tormented by these two qualities. We either hanker for something we don't have, and then if we finally achieve it and we lose it, then we lament because of the loss. So the mind is constantly torturing the conditioned soul with these two qualities. So anyhow, the story goes on. Basically, at this point, both king and queen are heartbroken. They're crying. And when the king realized what happened, he literally fell on the ground and started crying loudly. At that point, Angira comes back. And this time, he brings his good friend Narada. Narada Muni. Hari Bol. So they arrived, and essentially when they saw the king, basically Angira is addressing the king, and he's saying, my dear king, why are you lamenting? What is the relationship between this body and your body? Did it exist before this moment, or, you know, will it exist in the future? And he said, just like the grains of sand, they come together by the waves of the ocean. For the few moments, they may kind of be next to each other. But then immediately later on, by the force of the waves, they separate again. Basically, the Rishi was explaining, what's the point of your attachment? By the force of material energy, all the living entities, they come together for a short time and then they separate. So By hearing those words, finally the king starts to come to his senses. And Angira was saying, you're a great devotee of the Lord. You should not be affected so much by material gain and loss, which affects all the conditioned souls. And then very, very interesting thing happened. By the power of Narada Muni, that soul who actually departed came back. Narada Muni said, my dear child, you left so early. There is, you know, still remaining amount of your life. If you want to come back, you can. And the child came for the short, you know, few moments and started actually speaking. Narada was saying, don't you see your parents are lamenting and they're so much in pain? So if you wish to come back to your life and live the rest of your time in this body, you can. So then the child basically speaks very, very interesting, you know, philosophical points. And the first thing the child is saying, I'm the living being who has been traveling from one life to the next. I have been in the bodies of demigods. I have been living in the bodies of beasts and humans and plants. So I've been traveling from one body to the next, and so on. And then the child said, so from which life are these two my parents? Can you imagine? And you know, king and queen, they're listening. So from which life these two are my parents? And then the child goes on and speaks actually very, very elevated philosophy. So the point here is, of course, not that there should be no affection. And, you know, I'm not hinting on that at all. Of course, in our dealings with our family members, there has to be affection, especially our family members are devotees. But the point here is that we do have to be aware that this situation we are in is temporary, and we should use it for the best possible purpose, which is actually to reawaken our forgotten relationship with the Lord Himself. So we have a few more minutes. One particular point, the King Chitraketu, he is reciting very important verse here, and I just wanted to read it to you. Chitraketu is saying, Tasmad yuvam gramya pashor mamma muda diya prabhu ande tamasi magnasya jnana dipa udiryatam. Because you're great personalities, you can give me real knowledge. I am as foolish as a village animal, like a pig or dog, because I am merged in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, please ignite the torch of knowledge to save me. Jnana Dipa, torch of knowledge. So, I wanted to briefly tell you this story, and if you actually look later on what happens. Chitraketu receives mantra, and Narada tells him, in 7 days, you will have a darshan of the Lord. And I was kind of reflecting on that point, how in a similar way, we are also given mantra by Srila Prabhupada and his faithful followers. And of course, in our days, it may not be 7 days, but nevertheless, we should be very enthusiastic to take this process very, very seriously, because the process definitely works when performed faithfully. In the first canto, there is a beautiful conversation between Srila Vyasadeva and Narada Muni himself, when Vyasa is inquiring from Narada, And he's saying, like, tell me about your past life, like who you were before, like how did you achieve such exalted position? And Narada goes on to describe how actually he was the son of the maidservant. And he was only 5-year-old boy, but by the good fortune, he had the association of great personalities, Bhaktivedantas. And his mother was serving them, and he was there and constantly hearing from them. And it was only for 4 months. You know, sometimes we think like, oh, you know, I need micromanaging by my spiritual master. But no, like you can see, even Srila Prabhupada himself had a very, very few opportunities to be directly with his spiritual master. But nevertheless, he took the instructions very, very sincerely. So there is one particular verse that I wanted to also refer to, which essentially Prabhupada is saying, these are the necessary qualifications of prospective candidate who can expect to be elevated to position of pure, unadulterated devotee. So this verse goes like this. Tasya evam me nuraktasya parishritasya hataina sa shada nasya balasya dantasya na charasya cha. And the translation is, I was very much attached to those sages. And then Narada is saying, like, describing his, actually, his character at that young age. So Narada is saying, I was gentle in behavior, and all my sins were eradicated in their service. In my heart, I had strong faith in them. I had subjugated the senses, and I was strictly following them with body and mind. So Prabhupada is essentially pointing, these are the necessary ingredients for any sincere person trying to essentially achieve pure love of God, just like Narada did. So I will stop here. Basically, I just kind of wanted to reflect on these few points and highlight how actually in the case of devotee, when devotee prays, it's different. Because devotee understands the mission of the Lord is to come to this world and to essentially reestablish the Dharma. And in that regard, any plans, any desires that devotee has, he actually organizes his life with that in mind. How can I assist my spiritual master? How can I assist the Lord himself? And also interesting to point out, we remember when Nityananda Prabhu was preaching and he actually met Jagai and Madai, and they were very ill-behaved, at least to say. And Nityananda Prabhu got hurt. So Lord Chaitanya, he called his chakra. He was ready to kill them, and he actually, I'm going to kill all these demons. But Nityananda Prabhu, out of his compassion, he said, my dear Lord, in this Kali Yuga, if you start killing the demons, you know, practically nobody will be left because everybody is influenced by the demoniac mentality. A large number of population is influenced by demoniac qualities. Therefore, please, you know, be compassionate to them. So, as we know, Lord Chaitanya's mission is to not physically kill the demons, but actually to kill the demoniac mentality. And that is done by the spreading of holy name, by distribution of prasadam, by good association of devotees, and by the mercy of devotees and great saints. So I will stop here. If anybody would like to make any comment or any question, feel free to do so. Yes, Prabhu.
Just just about how he could have 10 million wives. Chitraketu was a Vidyadhara. He wasn't like a human of this earth. So there's Siddhas, Charanas, Vidyadharas, Gandharvas, different human, higher species of humans that can have, that we don't understand how they, things they can do.
Yeah, that is possible, but I think he actually was promoted to Vidyadhara planet later on, after he got the mantra from Narada Muni. But initially, he was actually king of the earthly planet. Yeah, and then later on, you're right, later on, when he started following the instructions of Narada Muni, he was then promoted to be the lord of Vidyadharas. But nevertheless, good point. Yes, Prabhu.
2 points. One was, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives this point of Chitraketu's achieving success in 7 days because he had two things. The desperation, the previous incident from the lesson he learned from the child, desperation pushed him to have intensity and purity. Because he had these two, in 7 days he got it.
Very good point.
It's easy to say, but it's not it's not difficult.
Intensity and purity.
Yes. Another point also in the purport, Prabhupada, you just read, that when someone approach Lord Vishnu with the material desire, he doesn't fulfill. It looks like the way Prabhupada wrote it. But here in this verse, I just posted there, Madhulila 22:37, it says, if those who desire material enjoyment or merging into the existence of the absolute truth engage in the Lord's transcendental loving service, they will immediately attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, although they did not ask for it. Krishna is therefore very merciful. So nonetheless, what ISKCON is doing is perfect, what Prabhupada is doing.
Thank you. Yeah, that is a very good point. And you reminded me, actually, Prabhupada is saying in that purport how dacoits in Bengal, they would not go to Lord Vishnu's temple to pray, you know, to be successful in their, you know, in their criminal activities, because they knew if they go to Vishnu temple, their desires would be spoiled. Thank you. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
So based on this verse, they will immediately attain shelter. I can only assume it's possible to have Krishna's shelter and not know it, because we have desires and we pray to Krishna, we surrender, and sometimes it appears as though it's for naught, our life doesn't change. So we, of course, determination, so many things are there. But I guess the question is it possible to have Krishna's shelter and not know it?
Say one more time, is it possible what?
Is it possible, as this verse mentions, to immediately attain the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and not know it? Not know that you have that shelter, not experience it.
Yes, Pundarik Prabhu.
It's very, very foolish person to give up, to if someone's worshiping Krishna. The purport is where someone's worshiping Krishna and has some material desires is very foolish. He's giving up nectar and very foolish. Srila Prabhupada gave a very nice talk one time. He gave a story of the lady who was carrying they do like that to take to the market and sell for a couple of rupees. So she, somehow the wood fell from her head, and she said, "Help, Krishna, help!"
Mm.
So Krishna came there and said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "Help me put the wood back on my head." So this is the unfortunate position in the material world where we want some kind of material desire, but we don't understand that Krishna is so how wonderful Krishna is, how powerful he is. He can give us amrita. Mm-hmm. Instead, we want visha. We want poison instead of the nectar of Krishna consciousness. Eternal life of Krishna consciousness, Satchidananda, we can have eternal life of full bliss and knowledge, but we want to make nice, comfortable situation in this world.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, very good point. Yes, Mother Madhumati, next. I would just add to this is a very good point. But initially, when we come to Krishna consciousness, as it's also explained in Gita, you know, there is four kinds of people that come for a variety of reasons. So it's not, you know, unless you are some great personality from past, but most of us come due to distress, due to desire for wealth, due to, one of the categories, of course, is one who is seeking knowledge. But that is a very rare case. So, of course, initially there may not be that purity in a heart, and it may be mixed by material desires. But nevertheless, we should encourage each other, and in good association, those desires will get more and more purified. And like you said, eventually we will realize, why am I praying to the Lord for more burden on my shoulder? Where, you know, I can actually pray for things that are much more elevated. And yes, Mother Madhumati.
So, Prabhu, according to the story you told about Chitraketu, so he's a king, and in those times, is the king's son would take care of the praja, yeah, of the kingdom. And so in one sense, we can see that it was related to his service.
I mean, yes.
Maybe naturally as a husband wanting a son, but also that was a very big thing for kings to have sons so they could rule. So in this case, we see, okay, so he had the desire, and so he prayed, and the devotees gave him the boon. And so it could be seen as a material desire, or maybe, like you said, our desire is related to our service. But the funny part is that he prayed for that, and let's assume it's material. His desire was fulfilled, but then, you know, it was... his whole life just fell apart. So in one sense, it seems like one thing I could get out of the story is that, okay, you know, if you have material desires or whatever, you pray, and then Krishna will just mm-hmm. give it to you, and you're going to suffer more. So eventually you'll just come to him anyway. So that's one thought that came to my mind hearing that story.
Yes.
So either way, mm-hmm. whether you pray for it or you don't pray for it,
mm-hmm.
you pray for your material desire that may or may not be related to service, and Krishna may give it to you, and then he'll finish you the other way.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much. Actually, that literally brought something to my memory. Because we find in that story, Angira is saying at one point, my dear king, I could have given you... the most supreme knowledge the first time I came. And we can actually learn from this instance what is the expert preacher. Angira didn't do that. He actually realized where the king is, what is his needs, and he gave him blessing for the child. But later on, when the child died, actually Angira is saying, I could have given you knowledge back then, but of course, you were not ready. So that is the expert preacher. You know, he didn't tell him, oh, you're in Maya, you want a child, come on. He gave him child knowing very clearly that this child actually will be the cause of him actually gaining much higher realizations later on. And then later on, he will become more receptive to the transcendental instructions. And so we can actually learn a lot. What is expert preacher from Angira? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
When Angira gave the blessing, he also said the son's name. Sometime instruction of Prabhupada, I may misunderstand also.
Mm-hmm.
He said the son's name will be Harsha Soka. He did not say son will bring you pleasure only.
Mm-hmm.
Very clearly he says, I remember reading many years back. He said Harsha Soka means he will be the cause of your suffering, also misery. So mm-hmm. why did he not ask him details instead of he just take it? You know, I mean, you could literally accuse Chitraketu that why didn't you ask him to elaborate a little more? But according to Bishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he took it like, oh, he will be a mischievous child. I'll train him up. It's not a problem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's your speculation, what the spiritual life is.
Exactly. He assumed that, oh, maybe Angira is referring the child will be naughty, won't be obedient to the parents. He never thought the child would die.
Exactly. But it was a blessing of Angira was pure.
Yes.
But it's misunderstood by Chitraketu.
Yeah. Yeah, and like Madhu Madhavati said, we can see how actually Krishna orchestrates these events to wake up the, you know, his devotee to actually in one way push him to make further advancement. And in our lives, sometimes, you know, similar things happen and difficulties come for sure, and we should remember these good instructions and try to apply it. Yes,
Hare Prabhu. Krishna. So, talking about boons or getting your desires fulfilled, and the purport says about how demonic mentality and how the devotee. So, in theory, like learning verses for Bhakti Shastri or something, like my intelligence knows what to ask or what not. But then practically mind wants some things, some desires fulfilled, which are really not worth asking.
Mm-hmm.
So how is the Lord doing the surgery or operation? Like what?
He's the best of the experts. And he does it in a way that basically he does the operation in a way that you will not even notice. Or once you realize what happened to your heart, hopefully by then you will be in much higher level of consciousness, so you will understand and appreciate the troubles that you went through to achieve what you achieved in your life. I'm not sure if I...
So we pray in a way that, okay, Krishna, at least fulfill it or just let me know that, you know, that's not meant for me and then get it out of the way so that my mind not hanker for it. So how long should it take for that to...
Let the Lord decide.
Either give it or take away the desire. I'll be like hanging. In.
As long as devotee is genuine and honest, Krishna will actually give us indication directly in the heart whether our desire will be fulfilled or sometime through other Vaishnavas. And some desires will have to be transformed, some will be fulfilled, and some will have to be given up. And, you know, Krishna will give intelligence to discriminate between each of those three. Yes, Prabhu.
I have that same question for many years, and I've learned that God grant me patience and give it to me now.
I like that. That's good. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's 9 o'clock, and we will stop here. Thank you for your attention. Garantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.